You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 70. Today is December 6th, 2015. My name is Don, and with me this evening, as always, is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
How many times, Don, are you a flu shot type of guy or no?
Yes.
See, I don't want to put the whole, like, medical community on blast because they recommend it. But I've only got two flu shots in my life. One a few years ago, and I got swine flu. And one this year, and I have the flu. So, that's how I'm doing.
So you're an anti-vaxxer?
No, I'm not. But it's just a cruel coincidence.
The one year I didn't get it was 3 years ago, and I got pneumonia, so.
Well, you should have got the pneumonia vaccine, or
something. I should have. My flu turned into pneumonia. I was out of work for 3 weeks.
Flu-monia,
but that's okay. You know what makes me feel better, though, Jeff?
Getting an order from Nifty LED?
You nailed it, bud. Yeah. NiftyLED.com, your source for pinball LEDs, tools, balls, all sorts of fun gadgets and gear. Check them out. You get free shipping over $100, $5 flat rate shipping under $100. They just had a big Black Friday sale. I don't know if they've got any other deals going on right now because they sent me so many LEDs. All my games are pimped out. And I'm just waiting to add that undercap kit to all my EMs. So check them out, though. Nifty LED. They've been a longtime sponsor of ours, and we really appreciate all the work they've been doing, working tirelessly through the holidays, pumping out orders. They ran out of French fry trays. I saw that. Whew, that's how busy they were. The French fry tray industry couldn't keep up,
man,
with Nifty LED. But I don't know if they got them back in or what. But
I don't know. But there's a junior high somewhere where the kids are just getting them on a plate, and that's rough.
Unacceptable. Maybe they'll send a plate with your LEDs.
A fry plate.
I use a peanut jar to put my old bulbs in, and I use the lid to, like, as the French fry tray, until I got a French fry tray.
Is it a Costco one?
It is a Costco peanut jar, yes.
I keep old pinballs in one of those.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I keep my old pinballs in a margarita glass from the Paris Hotel in Casino in Vegas.
That's different than what I did.
Shaped like the Eiffel Tower.
I was on the trip when you got that. When you stayed there.
Yes, you were. Which, by the way, I've been to Vegas several times, and that is the worst place we've stayed. So, I cannot recommend the Paris Hotel.
Okay.
And Casino. Anyway, what are you up to, Jeff?
Looking for a job. Basically,
I wonder if Nifty LED's hiring.
I hope so.
Well, technically, you're on their payroll.
That's
right.
No, that's, I'll tell you, the worst time to not be working and start the process of looking for work is the day before Thanksgiving, because everybody just wants to wait till the beginning of the year. So even though there's stuff listed and you apply and you talk to them, they say, yeah, we'll let you know, we're kind of waiting till the beginning of the year. So I've already been driving myself crazy doing a whole lot of not much. But
what have you literally been doing every day? I forgot my towel. Hang on.
Oh, get your towel.
I ain't like clicking towel.
Okay, hurry.
Oh, geez. All right, I got my towel.
Good. All right. Well, I have played with my kids a lot when they're out of school.
Boring.
I've played a little bit of pinball at home. Okay. I set up a new TV entertainment center thing I bought at IKEA because we bought a new TV and that I hung on the wall.
That's a good time. A good time to do.
Yeah. That. Did that.
Make those purchases.
Helped my neighbors with some stuff, that my older neighbors.
So what do you do? What, somebody asked me and I said, he does internet.
I was over an internet marketing department. So I am basically an online marketing guy.
So if you're hiring, you can email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. I will blow your mind with my marketing prowess. So
the hefty resume.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm kind of going a little bit crazy, and then got the flu. So Christmas shopping's done though. That was no problem.
Kids aren't getting anything, yeah, right?
Pretty much, but no time issues. Being able to find the time to get out and do that.
That's true.
Was easy. So, yeah, it's great.
So how's it feel to be one of us?
This is the first time since 2002 that I haven't had a job, and it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not used to it yet, and I'm hoping to not get used to it before I find one. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. We wish you the best.
And a Merry Christmas.
Obviously. And a Merry Christmas. Okay. And hopefully you can enjoy this time, enjoy the holidays without any stress with your family, and then get super stressed beginning of the year trying to find a job.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of would be great.
Yes. So seriously, though, if you have any leads, email us.
Yeah.
Just looking.
We'll definitely listen. That's for sure.
Excuse me. That cold I had 2 weeks ago when we recorded, still have that, so that's cool.
That's cool, yeah. Just hanging around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used the neti pot right before we recorded, though, so should be in okay shape.
You don't sound like crap. You sound like garbage.
Nope.
So.
Oh, no, I sound good today, actually. My voice has been awful all week and kind of like real sexy and dreamy, but
yeah,
it's back to normal, nasally. I finally updated the code on WAS today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Aroused.
Okay.
They released the big 5.05 update. It's a Delta update, so it's like it updates the whole system. It wipes the whole thing clean. It took about an hour to get the whole thing in there, which I'm assuming that's what Sterns do every time you update them. Is wipe the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it took about the same amount of time. But I forgot, like when I turned it back on, I forgot that the house, you have to kind of adjust where the house stops so that the legs will pop out perfectly. And I forgot I had to redo that. The upper kicker I had adjusted because it went too crazy when I initially got the game. But I think code updates fix that because I didn't have to mess with that. But yeah, they added some pretty noticeable stuff. There's different audio. I noticed a horse whinnying when I got the horse. The screen kind of stuttered when I get a skill shot. But the skill shot is incremental now. Like if you hit the witch and get 5,000, the next time you hit her, you get 6,000.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I noticed some different colors in the LEDs for different modes. And there's a lot more to it. I only played two or three games. I think I got 80,000 my first game. Then my second game was 15,000, which are both terrible scores.
They're shameful.
But it definitely immediately felt different.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Like you can have shameful games on your own machines in the privacy of your own home. You didn't even need to say anything about that.
You're right. Yes. I played pretty good on Metallica. Fotini actually got the first high score ever in her life the other day. Kids were playing Metallica, so she took over the flippers because they wanted to watch her. And she got high score number 4. I updated the code a few weeks ago, so all the scores were wiped. And she was thrilled to enter her initials. And then tonight, same thing happened. My son walked off after ball 1, so on ball 2 I started playing. And ended up getting 2 high scores, which bumped her score off. Sorry, honey. She took a picture of it for posterity.
That's good. That's pics or it didn't happen. We're good.
Yeah, and my scores weren't great. They were both, I think one was 61 million, the other one was 66 million. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I met Alec Longstreth yesterday.
Oh, cool.
One of the gentlemen who published Drop Target Zine, along with John Chad,
yes.
And he was a really great guy.
Oh, did you think he was a piece of dirt before you met him? Or?
I assumed he'd be a dick, but no, he was really genuinely nice gentleman. My wife had asked, oh, well, how did you guys meet? Because he moved up to Santa Fe a few months back, about an hour away. And I couldn't remember. And it turns out when I ordered issue 7, which came out just a couple months ago, on PayPal, he said, hey, I'm moving to Santa Fe next month or something like that. We should hang out whenever that happens. So he was in town. So we hung out for a bit. And actually, he didn't know I did the podcast, which was fine. He kept apologizing, but I don't expect people to listen. I'm totally cool with that. And I had actually, he writes a comic called Phase 7, which is autobiographical. And he wrote 3 issues about Weezer, and we're almost exactly the same age, had almost exactly the same experience with Weezer, which was a huge part of my life for many years through high school and whatnot. So I wrote him a letter after I read him. I was like, man, you nailed it. I don't even remember what I wrote, but, he knew that I had written that letter because he was compiling some old fan mail the other day and saw my name pop up.
That's cool.
Pretty weird. But he's owned a Medieval Madness for about 7 years and he still has it. And that's his only game, but, he does like pinball. He's not like heavy on pin side all the time, but I'd say he's a pinhead.
Yeah.
Anyway, great guy. If you haven't read Drop Target Zine, you gotta read it. It's so good. Check it out. There's 7 issues. They're all fantastic. The run is over. That's all they're making. So check them out. Lots of good dream themes in there and interviews with other luminaries in pinball. Probably the nicest zine I've seen.
Yeah, I really like it. They did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that the reason they were going to do 7 was to have one dream theme from each of the 7 Harry Potter books. I never put that together.
Mm.
But that was their original intention, or at least his.
Interesting. Yeah. We should have stopped at 7 episodes.
Should have. We do have a listener, Sean, who's going through all of our episodes. He's up in the 30s right now.
Yeah.
Just feel bad for the guy. I feel like we should do a GoFundMe for him or something. That's brutal. Do some kind of charity donation for it's like, what do they call it when they play Desert Bus for 24 hours? Extra Life, right?
Yeah, Extra Life does it, yeah.
Yeah. Listening to our show, that would be torturous. Good motivation for Extra Life.
They should listen to it while they drive the desert bus back and forth.
I like that. I bet Joe Zinkas could like mod in a pinball podcast.
He could, but do we want to do that to him and to any who may come across it?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
I'll quickly explain Desert Bus. Okay, so here's the thing. I've been thinking a lot about the podcast. I like the long form, or at least I like the unstructured podcast type. Like, the podcasts I like to listen to are unstructured, but they're typically like 3 hours long, and I don't want to do that. I don't know if that would work with our audience.
Yeah, probably not.
So I'm torn between wanting to just talk about whatever and wanting to stay on topic.
Like last time
we were very off topic, but nobody complained.
They've become become apathetic.
Right.
No, I heard everything I heard from the last episode was good, so that's good.
Yeah, we got some positive mail. Yeah. Desert Bus was a game that was not released. It was part of the Penn & Teller, was it Sega CD collection?
I can't remember if it was Sega CD or PlayStation, but...
Yeah. It wasn't PlayStation, it was the Sega system. I think it was CD. Okay. I don't think it was Saturn. Anyway, so you're driving a desert bus from LA to Vegas and it's in real time. So it takes, it's not from LA. It's to Vegas, but it was like a 13-hour drive wherever they were driving from.
Yeah, it's really long.
Seattle, maybe? I don't remember. You're just driving through the desert and the bus slightly drifts to the left.
Yeah.
So you have to correct it constantly the entire 13 hours. And there's nothing. Occasionally there's a cactus, I think.
Yeah, every once in a while there's something tiny to see, but it's like a bug might basically hit the windshield.
Oh, that's right, bugs.
Yeah. Yes. That's about it.
Somebody probably has streamed the whole thing on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's happened. They do it every year. There's a charity where they stream themselves playing it, driving there and back. So,
yes. For the kids, though. You know, for kids.
For kids.
Speaking of positive feedback or lack of negative feedback, we effed up. We got some negative feedback.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. We got this email from Chad. I was talking about a Theater of Magic trunk fix last month. He had turned us onto it, and he said, "Don, you kind of hammered the review of the Theater of Magic trunk fix. You indicated it was around $100. The board is $25 with $6 shipping. The board with integrated trunk fix is $58 with $6 shipping. The issue I described was one where you would need to power cycle the game, and that's an extreme. Chad's game would simply jump into a mode so you don't have to make the shot with the trunk. The Leon board interrupts the signal coming from the Eddy sensor board going to the CPU when the motor is spinning via a relay. The trunk board is built to be more reliable than the factory one, and... the factory one uses expensive optos. The new board is more reliable and costs less than 4 new optos. Anyway, because of what I said, it sounded like I was panning the product, and I wasn't. I was just maybe confused on what it did. And I think I was looking in, I don't know, rupees or euros or krones or something at the $100. I know I saw a $100 thing, but that thread really is a mess. I'll repost it here, but you really got to dig around in there to find the information. I don't know why they don't just update the top post in the thread. So my beef is with the thread, not with the product.
The nuggets are buried deep. The truth nuggets.
Yes.
Very deep.
Anyway, thanks, Chad, for the correction. I don't think he's the OP, so I'm not knocking him.
It's all right.
But I appreciate the quick fix there.
Yeah.
And Kayla wrote in. Kayla is great at correcting us, which is fine. We appreciate it. I'd rather have accurate information than just be shooting off of the mouth. Although, a little more podcast behind-the-scenes stuff. You're sitting here having a conversation. It's like you're not... If you're having a conversation with your buddies at League Night, you don't have like a fact checker right there.
You know what I mean? I tend to bring one around.
You can check on your phone while other people are talking, I guess.
Sure.
Like, oh no, the third Weezer album was called blah blah blah.
What was it?
It was not called anything.
That's right.
One of the three self-titled albums. Either way, I'm not saying Kayla's like that person. I'm just saying, since we're recording this and people can stop and edit and listen back, they can fact check us, but we're just having a relaxed conversation. Two buds. Yeah, right?
Yep. Making mistakes.
Can you hear Solomon screaming?
I cannot. But now I know he is. Yeah. He mentioned that. Yeah.
We give him two cars every night, two Hot Wheels, but he's like super into throwing. So he threw one and hit Isley in the head.
Uh-oh.
While they were taking their nap today, so I said no more cars, and
that's caused an issue. Anyway, I bet.
Yeah, he's not happy with that, but she wasn't happy getting hit in the head with the metal car.
Oh man.
Okay, so Kayla wrote in. We talked about the Domino's pin that Spooky is doing on the last episode. There is no such thing as the Noid murders. Kenneth Lamar Noid did hold employees hostage for 5 hours and had them make him pizza. But the only loss of life was himself. He was arrested and tried, ended up committing suicide 3 months later at a mental institution. The two employees were unharmed. So yeah, I should have said incident, the Noid incident. I remember there was something going on. The dude with the name Noid didn't like the Noid.
No, it was still a negative Noid experience.
Yes, it was a tragedy, and I'm glad the two employees were unharmed at the very least. Yes. All right, moving on. Oh, and I think I did read something that the Noid will be part of the game, like officially. It seems kind of weird, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Because he hasn't been around in 20 years, more than that, 25 years.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess if they made a McDonald's pin, you'd have Hamburglar, Is he still around? Mayor McCheese, is he still around?
They're not around, except for in our hearts.
Hmm. My wife and I were talking about McDonald's playgrounds. Do they have ball pits when you were a kid?
Yep.
At McDonald's?
They did.
They did not when I was a kid.
They also had a giant Grimace that you could stand in that was on springs. A huge...
Yes.
Mayor McCheese head that you could climb around in.
It was like a jail cell. Yeah. Had bars
in
it.
Yeah, basically. You could ride on some weird things. I don't remember what they were.
Little nugget dudes.
Yeah. The old McDonald's Playland was
They were outdoors.
Cool. Yeah, they were. Yeah. On AstroTurf.
Yes, okay.
They were a great place to get hurt.
By the time they put a ball pit in, I was too old. But I do remember, especially the Mary McCheese jail cell thing.
Yeah. Is there anything more disgusting than a ball pit?
Not that I can talk about on air.
The balls are
not for kids.
Slightly moist. There's always a sock or two in the bottom. There's tons of Band-Aids. It's disgusting.
Well, it's like those gravity parks with the sponge pits. Yeah. And it's like all soaked in. You can't just hose the sponges off.
Some sweaty dude jumps in there and...
Some kid with a squishy diaper.
They come out a little more dry than they went in. And then the non-sweaty person comes out more wet than they went in. It's disgusting.
Mm, yes. It's a balance.
Yeah.
A little bit of show feedback here. We got an email from Matt. He had asked us, did you get a permit or insurance to put a panel location? If you did, can you talk about that on the show? I'm curious, what is required in your area to be able to put a machine on site? I'm also curious if people declare the coin box in their income taxes. In my instance, I Googled it when I had a game on location, and New Mexico does not require a vending permit. So, in... I guess I did it on the up and up, but as far as claiming it, the two times I had it on location was only for a month or two, so it was like $100. I didn't claim it. Probably should have. I'm probably going to get audited now.
Yep.
But what I did is I emailed Tony at the Coinbox Pinball Podcast, which is an excellent show. Definitely worth checking out. Their last episode had a lengthy interview with Todd Tuckey. Lots of great stories from basically doing what he does, vending machines and whatnot, back in the 70s and 80s. So check that out. But Tony said he tries not to give specific information regarding permits, as it literally varies by state, city, and zoning. So you're going to want to check with your local county, state, city, etc.
Yeah,
you want to check it out.
Yeah, I know the county and city really complicate things. Like the city I grew up in is way more difficult with arcade games than the cities around it. So, like, 2-3 miles north, way easier than, you know, than the city 2-3 miles south. It's just crazy how much it varies. City ordinances and stuff, yeah.
Mm.
City zoning, all that crap.
Yeah, so double check. You don't want to get pinched. You don't want to get in a rough spot. He also said, or Tony said, he's in Minnesota. There is no state permit required. However, there is a yearly city fee. He says insurance is used for liability. You need insurance to protect yourself from a lawsuit should a customer get hurt involving your equipment. In his case, it's typically around $700 per year. And you are absolutely required to pay both state and federal income on your income from amusement. So thank you, Tony, from the Coinbox Pinball Podcast for those answers.
Cool.
Yeah. On one of his shows, he talked about there's a lady who put her kid on top of the pins, and they would just run along the tops of the pins. Like, not the heads, but the glass.
That's cool. That sounds safe and fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's where the insurance, that's how someone could get injured on your game.
Yeah, I could see that leading to injury.
Potentially, hopefully not.
Especially if you actually put a piece of plate glass in instead of tempered.
Yeah, that'd be bad. You still can't hear Saul, right?
No.
Okay, I can hear him.
Just give him his car back.
And everything. I don't know what his deal is. His bedtime was an hour and a half ago. I went in there 3 times. Like, dude, chill.
We already talked about what the deal was. You took his car away. His car's
Don't tell him, but for Christmas he's getting some rubber cars that are squishy. I guess he could have those, but...
That wouldn't hurt his sister.
Yeah, if he's still being a dick at Christmas time, he's not getting them.
You just show it to him and then not give it to him?
Yeah, these are for whenever you're good, when you're an adult.
Maybe next Christmas.
Potentially. Yeah. Right. Okay, news. I didn't dig around a whole lot on Pinside this time. But I did come across an app I wanted to share.
No Fear came out on...
Yes, No Fear came out on the Pinball Arcade. On everything except PlayStation, I think. But they did update PlayStation up to No Fear, I think. There was some really recent stuff on there. I forget what they added. Anyway, which was nice. For a brief moment, we were almost caught up.
Then not.
Yes, then now we're not. But Judge Dredd is almost definitely next. If you look at the clue from the No Fear email, it looks like Dredd's coming, which is sweet. I'm happy with that.
I thought you would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be happy in 6 months when it comes out on PlayStation. If they were cross-platform, I'd be buying them left and right. I don't know why they're not cross-platform.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, it drives me nuts. The app I came across is called Super Hyperball, which is a terrible name. But it has a ton of modes. It is a mixture. I think they even call it a breakout pinball arena game. I think that's what it's called on the title screen. And that's pretty accurate. The table is built like an arena. There is, instead of flippers, you have a paddle, like breakout. But there's 8 pop bumpers on the table. It's very pinball themed. But the center of the game has sort of like a space invader, a giant one, that will break apart, like breakout style, as the ball hits it. But there's multi-balls. The back of the field is curved, which is really cool because it's pretty easy to just hit the ball straight and keep hitting the targets in the center and cracking it up more. But once you break through it, you hit the back of the field and it's curved, so it'll change the trajectory. It's also very difficult. You hit 3 targets on the back to start multi-ball, but if you hit the same target, it turns on and off. So you have to hit all 3 of them on. They're all right next to each other. It's pretty challenging, but it has all kinds of leaderboards. It's got timed modes. It has a Space Invaders mode, which sure enough, like a spaceship comes down and like little aliens come out of it, and they work their way towards the bottom of the screen, just like Space Invaders. If they get down to the paddles, you know, it's game over. It has power-ups. You can shoot rockets from your paddle. You can have the ball explode. The ball can shrink or grow larger or go much faster. But it's very arcade. It's very arcadey. It's not like a ton of controls. Basically, you're just moving back and forth, and occasionally you'll tap a button to use one of your power-ups. But it has that sort of bite-size mobile play that works really well, like an Angry Birds or a Crossy Road. You can play it for 3 minutes, and then, you know, you're done.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of games like this, and this one was really polished, the music was good, and it was compelling enough that I kept trying to chase high scores. I think my highest score is like 249th. I don't know how many players there are, maybe like 250, but it's really fun, and you're constantly unlocking stuff. The whole point is like you're gaining a letter in the word jackpot, and so far I think I got the letter A. After playing it for, you know, a half hour, I only got one of the letters. But getting that letter is what unlocked the Space Invader mode. So each letter unlocks a different mode. So I have 6 more modes that are locked.
You got some work to do, man.
Yeah, free to download, and then it has a lot of ads.
That's all right.
So you can pay $2.99 to get rid of the ads. Or, I was wondering about this, too, because when you start, especially the time mode, you have the option to watch an ad and get a power-up, but if you turn ads off, I wonder if you wouldn't get that power-up, or if it just gives you a power-up when you start.
Yeah.
If it's...
Yeah.
I don't know, because that would be a disadvantage in that mode. If the game sticks with me a couple more days, I'll probably pay the $2.99.
Tip jar,
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I've had almost $3 worth of fun with it so far.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, and then I was hoping to get Evan Bingham on the show, but we just dicked around and didn't get it done. you and I, not
Evan. I know.
Yeah. So Papa tickets went on sale this morning. Allegedly, they sold out right away, but that's what they said last year. And then at the event for Pinburg, there was 100 empty spots. So hopefully that's a similar situation where there is a wait list that you could sign up for right now. And hopefully that'll just get filtered through. I'm sure there'll be more people than last year because last year was such a big hit.
Yeah. I mean, there's not anything they can really do to make tickets more accessible because obviously you can only sell so many for the venue and the event. And it's just nuts. It's like us people who live west have a massive disadvantage at trying to get those. And it's just hard.
As far as the timing when they went on sale?
Yeah. Or just yeah, first of all, timing, because no matter what, it's always going to be more convenient for people in the east there. But not only that, it's just hard, because there's just not enough tickets to go around for the event. They need, like, Pinburg West, which the name wouldn't make any sense at that point, but, like, they need to have...
Pin Diego? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Pin Diego would work. San Pin Diego. But yeah, like, it's obvious that event is very successful, very popular, popular? No. Never again will I say that. But man, yeah, we need our version out here.
Yeah, Well, it never drains is kind of the big one out here, right?
The scale is not even close to the same, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Pinburg's 3 days of all pinball,
with that
right?
Whole replay FX on top of it and stuff, so...
750 players is a ton of people to keep up with. Players to keep track of.
It is.
Brackets to sort or whatever.
Oh, the brackets.
I would have loved to go, but I feel like I'm in the doghouse too much right now, so... I didn't want to test it. I didn't want
to
push it.
I wanted to, but circumstances caused for more wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to spend your money on new TVs and IKEA furniture.
I did that already. So now yes. I have to get wise.
Okay. It's did you do any Black TV. Friday shopping? Yeah. Or is that the Black Friday shopping?
No, seriously. I bought a 70-inch TV. Yeah.
Holy just sheesh.
Well, yeah, you know.
That's 20 inches larger than mine. No, 15 inches larger than mine.
I had a 60. I couldn't go smaller, but this one's wall mounting, so I was able to go bigger, so I did.
Nice.
But now I desperately need a job.
Right.
For what I've done.
Right. Nah. You could sell me that punch out if you needed to.
That'll get me by for a couple of days, but sure.
I'll chip in an extra 20.
Okay.
Well, isn't it like $1 a day you can feed a whole village or something? I mean, that should you guys should be all right.
Yeah,
for that.
I live in a village, so that'll work. No, I'm fine. Like, as far as that stuff goes, if anybody is worried, they shouldn't be. I'm fine.
Okay.
Don't go start a GoFundMe page for me. I don't need it.
We have a donate button on our site, thepinballpodcast.com. All donations from here till January 1st, 85% will go to Jeff. How about that?
But anyway, like I said, I'll be fine on that. It's not ideal, obviously, but we're not at risk.
Okay, so I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. You know what else I'm glad to hear, Jeff?
Nifty LED.
We got a keep flip part out from James Hale.
Dang.
Yes. He wrote in Gorgar Dracula Totem. We haven't done one of these in a while.
Gorgar Dracula. Wait, is that Bram Stoker's Dracula?
I don't know which one it is, Jeff. I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, you could have. If you knew I was going to ask, you could have got clarification.
I'm really bad at emailing James back, so I don't know.
I have to email him. Okay, so wait. It was Gorgar. What was the third one? Dracula
and Totem. Now, I'm going to say it's the Stern Dracula.
Okay. Just for being interesting sakes.
Well, that's the only one technically called Dracula.
Okay.
And it's similar age of the other two games.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's badass looking, too. You got that Dracula with the big forehead? Five head?
Yeah. He's very heady. Okay, I think I know what I would do on this one. And I think we may differ. So
I doubt it.
No, you don't. You doubt it.
You don't know me.
I don't. I think I would keep the Dracula. I would flip the totem and part out the Gorgar. That's what I think I would do.
I like all three games, but yeah, definitely part the Gorgar. I've always wanted a totem. Dracula is pretty badass looking. I played it at Papa. I'd probably keep the totem.
All right.
And flip the Dracula.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Dracula's definitely got more cool points. It's definitely more badass looking. But Totem's a cool game, too. It's got an interesting layout, and I've always wanted one. So there, James. He didn't say what he would do.
Oh,
wait. Does he mean the 1935 Totem or the 1979 Totem?
I'm guessing it's 75 one.
79.
79, sorry. Yeah. When you first said totem, I thought you said Totan, and you were given the Toten treatment, but...
Toten.
You didn't do that. Okay, well, yeah, so we do slightly differ on that, and that's okay. But,
That's a good layout there.
That's a good trio.
That's a good spread. Yeah, thank you, James. Okay, next we have... We're going to try this. Joe Zenkis set us up with a pinball quiz. And what it does is he made five quizzes, basically, five games, and he cut in sound clips. So we'll hear a clip, and then the first one to guess the game wins.
Yeah, so this is Name That Tune style.
Name That Tune. They're very, very short clips, so you can play at home. We think we got it where it'll work, and we can play it through. Just going to play it through his speakers.
So, incoming technical disaster.
We should say this, that I knew... I sampled the first one to see how the quiz was formatted, and I knew it. And then when we were testing this, we used that same game, and Jeff knew it. So, we're not going to use number one. So, we're doing the other four.
Yeah.
Which we have not heard anything about.
No. In fact, I haven't even tested to make sure everything's going to work. So...
Oh, good.
We're hoping you didn't screw up, Joe. Not thinking that you would, but we wanted this to be raw and uncensored.
Right.
And legit. So, yeah. So, the way that they, like I said, there's several clips available for each one. I will play the shortest clip available for the first song or soundtrack. I don't know if these are all musical. Like, they could be just the sounds of the game. But I'm assuming most of them are just musical. And then I will ask you if you think you know what it is. I'll tell you if I think I know what it is. And then we'll just move on to a longer clip if we need to. Listeners out there, don't buzz in or anything because I can't hear you. But feel free to yell at your listening device of why we're so stupid and why we didn't get it. So... All right. You ready for the first one, Don?
I'm ready.
Okay, so let me cue it up. This is the shortest clip available on this one. And here we go. Do you know it?
That was really short. My guess is Adam's.
Yeah, I guess that too. Yeah.
Well, let's hear the second one. Okay. Is that cool?
Definitely.
I feel more confident.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Do you want me just to jump to the longer one?
Yeah, he did. He put in a longer 15-second track. So, we'll play that for the listeners.
Here's the full track. Oh, we were wrong.
Oh, man. It's Gilligan's Island.
Okay, so we're both geniuses. Ready to move on?
Well.
I mean, that was that was really hard, and we both got that.
Yeah.
So.
Masters of our field. That was fun. I didn't expect to get it, first note.
I own that game.
You can see, listeners, you can see how short those samples are.
Yeah. So. That was fun. Okay, next.
Yeah, let's try the next one.
Next one. Let me jump into the files. All right, here we go. Oh, I know that. Did you even hear it? Could you hear it okay?
I heard the sound. My gut says whirlwind, but.
That's not what I think it is. I'm about 99% sure. I won't say it. I'll let you.
Well, say yours. I'll say yours.
Okay, I think it's Twilight Zone.
Okay, let's hear
the next one.
Oh, yeah, that's Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's Twilight Zone. Okay.
That's the bass line.
And also, it is a version of Golden Earring's Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Can you play the first one again?
Yes.
Yeah, I still wouldn't have got it. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, see, I own Adam's Family and Twilight Zone. They sit next to each other, so in my collection. True. So that was set up for me to get that. But I'll play the full one because it's an awesome song. Here we go.
It is.
All right. So
the first time I heard that actual song, the Golden Earring song, I remember where I was. I was at work, and I was like, "Hey, it's the Twilight Zone song."
Yeah.
From the pinball, but it sounds all weird because it's a real song. Real song, yeah.
It's so fitting for the pinball and stuff. It's kind of cool that, like, if that wasn't a song called Twilight Zone, it still would be perfect track for that game. So.
Yeah, it's got that pinball feel. Yeah. It's like Frankenstein shoehorned into Mary Shelley Frankenstein. Feels a little weird. This feels totally natural.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember, too, one time driving in the car, that came on the classic rock station, and my kids yelled out, "Hey, we have that game." I was like, "Yeah, that's right." Nice. But, cool. So, Twilight Zone. All right, here we go on the next one. Wait, hold on one second. Okay, here we go. I have to say, I can... That sounded very familiar, but I don't know what it was.
And try it. Do it one more time.
One more time? Same length?
Yeah. It does sound familiar, but I can't place it either.
Okay, I'll move up. This is the next longer one. Why can't I get this?
That's Whirlwind, right?
I think it might be.
I think it's Whirlwind.
Okay, let me go to the next longer one. Okay, all right. Good job. You done good. Okay, so do you want me to go ahead and play the long one now for everyone? Because, yeah, that's definitely Whirlwind.
He gave us clues. Do you want the clue that he gave us for that game?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure it's Whirlwind, but...
Okay. Yeah, the clue is Cubs, so...
All right. Here's the...
That feels good.
Here's the full. So, yeah, definitely Whirlwind on that. Good job, man. You got that fast.
That's my favorite pinball soundtrack. I love the sound on that one.
Oh, so that one game. Was the one that was the softball for you then. So,
yeah, potentially.
All right, so here goes...
That and Millionaire. Those are my favorites.
Here goes quiz five, and here we go. Oh!
Oh.
Yeah, I know that one, too. This one is my favorite, so...
It's a game you just... Yeah, a game you just bought.
Yeah, we both got it. All right, so let's not say this one yet. Let's... I'm going to jump up to, like, two, and this one's for the listeners, because... that's pretty distinct, but here we go. I'm going to play the next longest one. Yeah, it's definitely...
Nice.
All right, should we just say it on three?
Yeah, one, two, three.
Elvira and the Party Monsters. Nice. Okay, let's play that full one, because this is such a good soundtrack. Good.
A lot of those, it's like, how do you describe that type of music?
Oh man, that I have no idea.
Tribal or something?
I don't. Bouncy awesomeness? I don't.
Funk? I don't know.
It's funny because when I got the machine, I posted on Chris Granter's Facebook page. I'm like, hey, because I've been looking for a while.
I saw that.
And he's like,
came up on my wall.
Yeah, he's like, that's still my favorite sound package I've ever done. Like, yeah, man, I agree. It's like, it's killer. I remember when I was going to pick it up, and I was telling my wife, I said, oh, this game, the music is just so good.
There's some games that are, I don't know, some music packages that are really familiar, like No Good Gophers has that Caddyshack feel.
Yes.
But I guess it's rock. I don't know, really know what it is. And then like World Cup Soccer, that's like weird world music. And I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, it's post-rock, alt, math rock. It's like, no, I don't need, like, I'll give you Shoegazer or something, but I don't need 600 different genres of music.
Yeah, I don't.
It's horrorcore. Okay.
Horrorcore.
No, it's metal. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what genre of music Elvira and the Party Monsters would fall into.
Yeah.
Grannercore.
Nice. So, trademark that.
I can't. He would own all rights to that.
Well, we'll do it for him.
All right. But it's awesome. This is what it comes down to. So.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, that probably took some time to put together.
Definitely. Do you want to play the one that we guessed right away? Did we say what it was?
I don't think we said what it was. So this one's for the listeners. I'll play the shortest one first.
Okay.
Oh, wait. We said what it was. No, we didn't. Okay. Here we go.
I don't think we did.
Right, yeah. Here we go. Okay. So I'm going to play the next. I'll go to three from there. Here we go. Okay. And then I'll just play the full one.
Sure.
By now, I think most people have guessed, but here we go. There we go. Lawler's games have great music. So, for those that didn't get it, that was Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Also another game with a great sound package. Not just music, but just great sound all around.
Pinball has a lot of solid sound, guys. There's only a couple games that have, like, bad sound, but not really that many with bad, like, modern games.
Yeah.
You know, with soundtracks and stuff. There's not really that many bad soundtracks. It's just stuff like Amazing Spider-Man that pops in my head that I hate.
And sometimes the sound that's bad isn't necessarily the composer's fault. Sometimes
right. I mean, there's so it's so limited what they could do
at
that time. But then the guys like Eugene Jarvis had a similar palette that they were able to make memorable.
Yeah, they squeezed a lot of
tones with
cool stuff out.
You know, Firepower and Gorgar and
oh man, I love Firepower. The sound on that.
So like cool sounds.
It's intense.
Even a lot of arcade games, and even now, if you're watching, you know, the new James Bond or something, and you see somebody playing video games, you'll have classic video game sounds. even if he's playing the Xbox, which is weird. Like,
it's trade.
I guess the same with pinball. You have EM sounds.
Yeah.
On a movie.
Just trademark issues. One of the game most popular games in the world has one of the worst soundtracks of all time. It's a mobile game, and it's Candy Crush. That game has some of the worst music ever. It's awful. It's very repetitive, crappy. I don't know. It's junk.
I almost every iOS game, I just immediately turn off the sound as soon as I download the game.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, so I don't have to hear it when I'm trying to play it. For better or worse. Some of them have really good sound. The only reason I noticed it on that pinball game is because I was trying to pay attention for this show. Well, I have played Candy Crush a little bit, but I don't know what the sound is like. Now we got a link to that.
Let me open
Candy Crush soundtrack.
I have it on my phone. Let's see. I'm trying to remember exactly what it sounds like. I just remember found it aggravating within like the first 10 minutes or 5 minutes probably. Let's see. If anyone out there likes it, I would like to know. Let's see here.
Riveting.
Yeah. We can just keep talking about plays. But it just does this.
Sounds a little bit like Tripping Daisy or Polyphonic Spree.
But it just never changes. It does this the whole time.
A little Brian Wilson thing going on.
It's not fun, though.
That's the loop right there?
Yep, it just started over. Pretty weak.
Yeah.
For a game that's made billions of dollars.
On a loop, it's annoying, but I liked it initially.
It should be.
That Angry Birds song is pretty terrible, too.
Yeah. At least that feels like an actual song.
Okay, you can turn it off now, Jeff. Thank
okay,
you,
there we go. See, that's how long it takes.
I'm trying to see if...
What I'm trying to say, we've got it pretty good in pinball.
If down well... I have my phone muted. This is one I've been really enjoying. It's really good arcade sound effects. Have you played down well?
No.
It was nominated for a game award. Very good, crisp arcade sound effects. I turned the music off, but...
I love that sound.
It's a great game. You got to try it.
You know what? Top 10 game music of all time.
That'd be a fun show.
Yeah. Solstice on the NES.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, okay. Sorry, listeners, but we're doing this real quick.
No, we don't need to play it now.
Oh, yeah. So, I already started it. You can talk over it, too.
Okay. Everybody just tuned out.
This is special. Aren't you pumped up, Don?
I have heard this. What is this?
This Solstice theme. It's about to get really awesome. It's kind of a mess right now.
You turn it down?
No. I don't know how. Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Okay. Sidetrack, Don. I can't turn it off.
All right, turn it off.
I was trying for a while, actually.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty good. Okay, back to
pinball. Solstice? I've never even heard of that.
Oh, that game's brutally hard. It's a NES game.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah, you do.
I'll look it up on my all time. But...
Or you could...
And NES.
Yeah.
And add it to the show notes, right?
We probably did a featured five back in the day of best pinball music. But I forgot which ones we would have named.
I don't know. I mean, off the top of my head, I know Warwind's my number one, but Elvira's up there.
I think we would have both mentioned
Millionaire's up there. Yeah, yeah, maybe I think we have done that.
Maybe it would be time to do an updated look at music. We like music.
We'll do our top five video game soundtracks on the Pinball Podcast.
Okay.
RoboCop for the Game Boy.
No, that's
Balloon Kid for the Game
that's
Boy.
That's not a joke.
I'm not joking. RoboCop for the Game Boy is like probably my number one. Not even joking.
Pretty solid.
It's excellent. I used to just turn my Game Boy on and leave it like laying on my bed while I did other stuff, just listening to it.
I bet you, yeah. I bet you a lot of people would be surprised at how many good soundtracks are on the Game Boy.
Oh, there's a billion. That was a really cool sound system.
That and the Commodore 64. Those are my two favorite.
I don't know about that one. I had one, but I don't remember any music from it.
You're terrible.
Gitaru Man. Gitaru Man is way up there. Gitaru Man.
Gitaru Man, if you're in the US, yes.
I named my dog Puma after Gitaru Man's dog.
I thought you would have named it like Jonas or something, but...
No, my name is Jonas.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, speaking of which, if you want to compare scores on Super Hyper Ball, my name is Call Me Steam, all one word, on iOS. Call Me Steam. And on Xbox and PlayStation, everything else. But if you do friend me, let me know that you're a listener. Because, I don't know, I have like a long list of people that I don't even know who they are. I like that the PlayStation Xbox will show you your real name now.
Yeah, yeah, the real friend request. That's cool. I like that.
That's way better.
Yeah, you kind of forget who, like, Squiddy Monster 47 is. You don't play with them often.
Blunt Dink King 420.
Yeah.
This is my babysitter or whatever.
General rule.
Okay.
If Swag, Blaze, or Blaze is in their gamer tag, they're going to be a dick to play with.
Yes.
Or
hung like a horse.
Sniper, the S is a 5. X. Also.
Right. Lots of straight edge kids on Xbox Live, apparently.
Yeah.
Lots of XX. Okay. Let's do our featured segment here.
Yeah.
We want to talk a little bit about pinball mods. Joe Zinkus brought it up. We hadn't talked about it in a while. We talked about, I think, our favorite... I don't know if we talked about our favorite mods or something. We were just going to kind of give... There's so many new mods out that it'd be worth revisiting once a year or something.
Yeah, they're coming out very fast these days.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing. They need some variety. For a while, it was like everybody had their shitty Robbie the Robot for Twilight Zone. Yeah. Like, there'd be a good one and then, like, 500 knockoffs. Everybody had their... quarter that stands up or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, let's think a little bit further outside the box. And now with 3D printing and even like pin graphics doing awesome decals and Laserific doing laser cutting, Measle Mods doing 3D printing, we're gonna name a bunch of different companies here, but there's just so much cool stuff out there. Oh yeah, even Color DMD, that's right off the bat. ColorDMD.com. I don't even know if I had that on our notes. It's so obvious, Jeff.
It is.
Ulex Store. The Ulex Store. Sorry, Ulex Store. We've got contest prizes from Ulex and from Measle Mods to give out today. And I think we're going to try something different. When we do our contest, you don't just have to email us. We're going to try to just... You can email us, Facebook, or Instagram us, and I'm going to try and keep it all together, sort it all, to keep to get the contest entries in there. So, and don't forget, Ulek Store, ulekstore.com. You can use the code PINBALLPODCAST, all one word, anytime this month, you'll save 20% off your pinball purchases. So, best way to find them on their site, because they sell a lot of different products. Go to personalizeditems/gifts, and then go to pinball mods, and they get all their pinball stuff there. But they're also on Instagram and Pinterest, Facebook, ULEK store.
They're everywhere,
but they've been making a lot of signs, really cool signs, flipper bats. I guess while we're on the Ulek thing, let me bring this up. Oh, no. We'll wait till the contest. We'll give more Ulek shout-outs later in the show. Cool. So what kind of spurred this is Pin Graphics released a mod for Metallica last week that sold out. I ordered it at like 11:30 at night when he first started posting it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's for sale now. When I got up at 7 a.m., it was already sold out.
Yeah, it was like Pinburg.
So I'm glad I got out of bed. Yeah, they only put 50 up initially, then I think they put up another 25, and then another 30, something like that. So they are making more. But what it is, it's a snake mod. It's called the Feed the Snake mod. It It replaces the plastic behind the snake on Metallica to extend the body of the snake into, kind of goes over the pop bumper area and lines up with the ramp. And then there's a decal on the ramp. So it looks like the snake body winds its way up the ramp, which is really cool looking. And it's only, it was $25 plus $5 shipping for a plastic and a decal.
Yeah.
Really cool. So if you can get them, they're different versions for the Pro, the LE, I think the Premium. There's either two or three different versions, but they're all sold out right now. So you'll have to check back at pingraphicswithanx.com. So I wrote Jose to ask him what else they're working on, and he wrote me back. So I wanted to mention them. They're releasing magnetic apron covers, which would be really cool on the, I don't know, anything that's not Stern, I guess. Yeah. Doesn't have the plastic apron. But they made magnetic apron covers, or excuse me, magnetic speaker panel covers for the newer Sterns with the magnetic speaker panels.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Which are pretty cool. It's not a permanent thing. You just slap it on and you're good to go. They're doing the same thing with apron covers soon. And they're going to match their pin blades. They make the decals that go inside the cabinet. And it's going to match those. They're also developing a 3D snake tail to partner with the snake mod. And they didn't have any images of that, but we'll be seeing something about that soon. They also have a line of licensed Bally Williams t-shirts that will be available in the next week or two. And I wanted to mention the pinball mod group they created on Facebook. Many of the top mod designers are members, and they try to spotlight new products there. They also encourage all the mod makers to offer specials on the mods inside the group. So if you Google pinball mods, or I'll put a link on our site, you can check them out there. It's a closed group, so you gotta, I guess, petition to get in. But
they usually are pretty.
Yeah.
About those.
As long as you're not selling sunglasses, you should be fine.
Yeah.
Cool. And I have found out about a lot of cool mods in there, like guys that they're just making, you know, they don't have a company or anything. They're not like Pin Graphics or Measle Mods, just one-off items. They'll be posting them in there. And Black Friday, guys were posting coupon codes in there. So it's a good, if you're into modding, it's a good site to check out. Good group. Okay, and we've talked about mods in the past where Jeff is more of a, you're not like a huge mod guy, but you like if it kind of puts back something that was taken out of the game, right?
That, or if it clarifies rules or shots and stuff. Like Twilight Zone, I think the piano mod's awesome because it, you know, when you tell someone, hey, shoot the piano to start a mode, and they're like, what? Where the heck's the piano? It's pretty hard to tell without that piano there, or things like that. Like the little town square light on Twilight Zone, because it makes it easier to figure out where town square is. Stuff like that I really like. So the decals that go on targets that kind of clarify things help. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, if it really enhances the theme without feeling cheap and cheesy. Like, I think the arcade mod in Tron is one of the best mods there. Same with the Flynn sign. And those don't do anything to clarify the game at all or shots, but I just think they're awesome. But yeah, as a general rule, I don't just fill my games with toys and stuff, even though I get why people do like them. I usually go more for the clarification, or like I said, to replace something that should have been in there.
So. Yeah. While we're kind of talking about that, John Constantine wrote in about how many mods change the gameplay. He said he knows that about the Dead World mod.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd. And then there's the third magnet on Twilight Zone. It's something I hadn't really thought about that actually changed the way the game is played.
Some of the
there's a custom balls. Custom code. Yeah, that's a good one. The Newton balls. Measle Mods has the Wolverine replacement. It adds a Newton ball instead of a
Bash.
Wolverine Bash toy. And then in what is it? Metallica Premium and LE Edition. It removes that block and you can put a Newton ball there. It'll change the way the ball deflects off that area. Yeah, that's a good one. Some guys will put in different coils. I guess it is a mod. Like, they'll put in the Lord of the Rings coils on whatever game to kind of...
Or a lot of people put stronger coils in Attack from Mars.
Okay.
So, I don't.
Because all the shots are in the back?
Yeah. I mean, it just makes it so they don't... You can make your shot with it being a little less clean, but...
That's a great question. I'll have to think more on that. Mods. Most people are hesitant to put in permanent mods, like drilling through the playfield to put in a third magnet. But if you're selling a game with a cleanly installed third magnet, that's not a huge turnoff to most people.
See, I love...
There are going to be the purists who don't want it, but...
I would love to do it. I'm just afraid of screwing it up. Twilight Zone, because that was clearly something the game was designed around. It's just they had to make some cuts, and that was one of them. But
I think the only permanent mod I can think of that I've installed in a game is the flipper button protectors on Metallica. They're not lollipop rails. Like, I put lollipop rails on Simpsons and Tron, but they just hang around the button, and they use the same hardware that the old rails used. On Metallica, it's only covering that area, but they were so cool, I figured, I gotta screw them into the cabinet, but it's better than having wear around the flipper buttons.
Yeah.
And they're so badass. Mine are like skulls with fangs. I don't think they sell them anymore. The guy got in trouble for selling them right away, and so they were only sold for a short time.
They do look cool.
I'll have to look on eBay, but I bought that a couple months before I even bought Metallica. Because I immediately loved them. I'm looking right now if they still make them. That's, if I had to name like one mod that I love in my collection, that's definitely the top. Doing Metallica skull pinball. Sorry, go ahead.
I said the only drilling I think I've ever done was for Shaker Motors. But there's obviously
I've done those.
But... Remote battery packs, but...
There's also the splitters that... Like DK Pinball makes power splitters.
Okay, I've done that,
Stuff I mount inside the cabinet, I guess I don't really count as much.
No.
There's enough stuff screwed in there, it doesn't really make a difference. As long as you do clean work, you're in good shape. And there's a Metallica playfield for sale on eBay right now, $175, and it's illuminated.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go for that. That's pretty cheap. Wow, I can't believe that's that cheap for a playfield. Sorry, sidetracked.
It's okay.
I don't see that for sale. Okay, where were we at? If you can think of other permanent mods, which I'm sure other people can, Joe, Kayla, let us know. Or if you would be willing to install those type of permanent mods or not. That'd be interesting to talk about.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, one of the extreme ones is the custom painting on playfields. Like, the creature from the Black Lagoon, a lot of people, for some reason, make the girl naked.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty extreme.
Yeah, that's true. It's, well, it's on the playfield. Like, you're replacing the playfield.
It's permanent.
I've seen the topless. Yeah, it is permanent. I'm assuming you're replacing it with... You're replacing an existing playfield with it, though.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, topless Elvira's. I don't know if that was a kit or if somebody just did it on their own game or what.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looked a little different. It was, like, cartoony. Which I guess that fits that game, but... Whatever you're into... And I want to give a shout out to Lee from pinballsupernova.com. He did a really good tutorial installing that Feed the Snake mod from Pin Graphics. I'll link that in the show notes. If you haven't checked out Pinball Supernova, check them out.
Yeah. It's the
great site.
The new Pinball Head.
Yeah, what happened with Pinball Head?
I don't know. Rest in peace.
Yeah, we'll bring that up every couple months. I'm tempted to look again. Remember when, like, the big news every month would be, this game got a code update.
Yeah. Pinball's a little more active these days.
Yeah. That's okay. Color DMD's Pinball Customs makes really cool shooter rods. They're custom sculpted.
Yes.
Some people don't like them. Not necessarily don't like pinball customs, but don't like
shooter rods.
Changing the shooter rod because it changes the feel of the plunge. So that's something that you might consider changing the gameplay.
Yeah, a little bit. I have one on Spider-Man. It just looks cool enough that I went with it. But that's the only game I have a custom shooter rod on.
Yeah.
I kind of want
some really cool ones.
I kind of want the Iron Man one, though, the Iron Man head. Because the plunge really doesn't matter in that game.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point, too. Games that it doesn't matter. There isn't a skill shot, necessarily.
Yeah.
I have it on most of my games. I like them. I just like custom shooter rods.
Yeah, they're cool.
WizardAmusement.com also makes really cool shooter rods.
Yeah, I've got a couple. It's his Spider-Man too. I have. It's really well done.
Cool. Let's check those guys out. SpeakerLightKits.com does a couple different things. I do have speaker light kit on Metallica. They illuminate the speakers on. It's not just Stern games anymore, right? I think he does it on all different games.
I think so. Yeah, I've seen him.
Power taps, but he has. Excuse me. Huh. First yawn. What time is it? 10 o'clock. Okay, good. he also includes an acrylic like cover, game specific. Well, he doesn't include them. You can order them separately, so you can put it on different games to add like another layer there. And I don't have any of the acrylic ones. I got some metal ones from Metallica from the same guy that made the flipper button protectors. But speaker light kits, they're, what are they, like $50? Let me see here. $45. And you can change them thousands of different colors. Comes with the whole remote and everything. The acrylics are, I think, $20, yeah, for a set. Pretty cool.
One mod that's actually pretty cool. So I went to a pinball party last weekend, and it's a old Harley on pin side. He's got a killer collection. Yeah. Anyway, on all of his games, he has the headphone jack mod.
Because
When you have 20 pinball machines in a big long line, you know how it is. It's like at a show, you can't hear it. But he's got that, and then he's got some padded headphones hanging off of each game, and you can throw them on, and it sounds awesome. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one that John Costin brought up as well. He has those on most of his games. For me, I don't get to play when my kids are asleep because the actual pinball machine is too loud.
Right.
But I think when they're older and everybody's playing something, that would be really handy. I turned the sound up on Metallica today because I just missed hearing it because it's been quiet for so long. And same with Wizard of Oz. Some games are really good about their callouts too. Was it Game of Thrones that had really good callouts? There's a recent game, a recent Stern that had really good callouts.
I haven't played
compared
enough.
To some that are terrible.
Yeah, I haven't played Game of Thrones, so I don't know. But yeah. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, there you go. Where the audio actually tells you what you need to be shooting for, more so than others. SparkyPinball.com is one that has popped up a lot.
Yes.
Sorry guys. It has popped up a lot in the past year. He makes these really cool little MDMs, micro display mods.
Yes.
Or mini display mods? Micro?
I believe it's micro.
It's like a little tiny TV screen that he has over 40 of them available. I've got them in Simpsons, Tron, and Metallica, and it's on a video loop that goes on a micro SD card. If you're reluctant to buy because you're not sure about loading your own video, he can't sell video, so you put your own video on there. You can contact him at sparkypinball@yahoo.com, and he can get you set up easily. You can get them through measlemods.com or sparkypinball.com. They're really cool.
They definitely are. Yeah, they're really, really cool.
He's constantly releasing new versions as well. Spooky Pinball actually does the plastic work for him. The plastic designs. I don't know if they design them, but they print them.
Yep.
Yeah, so check them out. Leesparts.com is one that I hadn't heard that much about, but he's got a lot of mods for a few games, like a ton of Addams Family mods, Attack from Mars, Dracula, Funhouse, kind of like the biggies. Lots of like Scoop illumination kits. But he has a pretty well done website too.
Yeah, nice. Right now. Yeah.
So I haven't heard him pop up that much, but I have ordered from him before for my buddy's Adam's family. And he's coming up. So check out leesparts.com. LEES. Pinball Pro. You got to mention Pinball Pro, Flipper Fidelity. Make awesome speaker upgrade kits. Yeah. People, I don't know. People are like, oh, which one's better? Which one's better? I don't know. They're both good, right?
They're all good. They're all winners.
It's all good. Metallica or Pinball Pro actually has a lot of other mods they're getting into as well. Kind of the higher end illuminated models for games.
Yeah.
Which is cool. They even have they have a Dirty Donnie Sparky on there. $600. That's one thing I'd love to do to my Metallica, but
those look so cool.
Yeah, $600 for a bash toy. Ooh, it's a piece of art, but I would hate to. I would feel weird putting it in my game. Not hate to, but that'd be weird. Bashing a piece of art. Lee's or not Lee's toys. Back Alley Creations. Matt Reeser. He's got his hand in everything, but he. He's done work on Wizard of Oz and The Hobbit. He's doing work on Rob Zombie's Spook Show Adventure International.
Yeah.
He does the black balls or the custom black chrome balls. He does a ton of stuff. And it's all like handcrafted, hand-painted. So check it out. And he's a really super nice guy. Really easy to work with. So backalleycreations.com. Oh, and John also brought up external subwoofers, which they're usually about $80 to $100 from Amazon, and you can hook two games up to them. So they're pretty cool. Again, I turned mine down, so I do have one that came with Tron, but I don't use it very often.
Yeah, it really kicks on Tron.
Yeah, I've got Tron and Metallica plugged into it.
That time I heard him.
I can hear both kids. That was Isley.
Oh.
You can hear both kids now.
Huh. They're up late, Don.
Well, I'm not on the clock right now.
That's okay.
And so James Hale wrote in, to mod or not to mod? That's the question. And some of the games that catch hell about it are like Star Trek and Twilight Zone. But something John Cosson said is that Twilight Zone is supposed to be like a curio shop.
Yes.
So if you have a bunch of stuff in there, it kind of fits the theme. And he's kind of right. Like, I've played a lot of Twilight Zones with a lot of stuff in them, but not that many where it's too much or it looks ugly or it affects gameplay. Those I don't like. If it blocks a shot or something, yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I've seen a few that are overmodded, but like I said, it does still work with the theme, but I have a hard time hampering play with toys, so.
Right. Ultimately, it's up to the owner, however they want to make their game. And a lot of people get in fights about it, but I don't care. It's your game. You do what you want.
Yeah, no kidding.
If I don't like it, that's fine. I don't own the game.
You can reverse it when you buy it.
Right. There are some mods I've removed from games after buying them. It's because I didn't like the look of them. And there's actually a pretty good secondary market for mods if you want to sell something. Throw it on Pinside and... Watch it move.
Does it count as removing the mod if you didn't take pictures of it and shame the person on Pinside?
Right. Yeah. A lot of guys are down to remove LEDs. I've done that a few times because I prefer different colors or whatever.
But, yeah, I've had to do that. Or I have chosen to do that.
Rarely are there mods that are permanent. You'd be damaging something, so... Maybe a decal would be tough. You take a decal off, you have to clean the surface, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Cool. And a lot of them don't, like they're not evergreen. You'll see guys make mods for a few months and then they're done. They can't get, you know, one of the pieces that they use to make the mod. Or like I ordered decals for Simpsons and the guy just stopped making them. So now there's guys trying to buy those. And, you know, I haven't installed mine. I could sell them, I guess, but I intend to turn in someday. But there are a lot of things like that. Like Measles got a set of those skull heads that he's never put on his Metallica.
Remember when the Arwen plastic on Lord of the Rings was like the hardest thing to get?
Yes.
And they like would do these tiny runs of it.
I don't even know. I didn't remember hearing them remake them, but
everything
I know
was
they were cracked
unofficial.
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Some guys say it devalues your game with a bunch of mods, but they're typically you can take them out. A lot of guys will post if they have a color DMD, they'll post the price and then the price without the color DMD.
Yeah, because you can swap them around.
Yeah, I think you can do that with most mods. It'd be more of a pain in the ass to part out, you know, oh, I'm going to sell these 15 mods one at a time. I actually took pictures of all the mods I put in Metallica to do an article, and I just haven't written it yet. Anyway.
I generally just leave my mods in the game if I sell it, so...
Yeah. I typically don't mod games I sell, so... well, I guess Twilight Zone I did. One that wasn't mentioned, I think it's from pinballdecals.com, is the lamp for Twilight Zone that goes over the power play field.
Yeah.
It was a Christmas gift to me from a friend. It's kind of expensive, but it's a really nice laser cut lamp, because the one that's there is really boring.
Lame.
Yeah, it's just solid metal. But that was pretty cool. Obviously, I left that in there. Okay, so Ulick Store, one of the contests they came up with is I'm always telling Measle Mods to make key fobs, and they're always like, no one uses key fobs. But I disagree. Do you have key fobs on your games?
I've switched mine to the keyless locks, but
okay, yeah,
I would use them. Yeah, I think they're nice.
You just defeated my point, because I put like whatever, I put a flying monkey on Wizard of Oz, so I know which one was Wizard of Oz. Like Tron came with a helmet for Clue.
Yeah,
but I also had a Simpsons Disco Stew that I put on Simpsons, but I had a keyless lock on it, so it was just kind of hanging there all the time for no reason. But I didn't care because I like Disco Stew and I wanted him in the game.
Disco Stew,
I guess you wouldn't need it. If you're not using it to sort your keys, you wouldn't need it. So it was a waste, but I still liked it. And I ended up, the kids got into Simpsons the other day. They figured out how to get into the keyless locks. They left one on Simpsons and Roadshow.
Yeah, that's...
So I had to swap it the other day.
That's a problem. My kids don't screw around with the game other than the volume. So I'll come down and volumes will be cranked up. I'll realize what they've done, but that's generally all they do. But
my kids are super into hiding stuff. Like they used to put all their toys inside ice cold beer.
Yeah.
But with the pins, they know how to turn them on. I don't want them sticking their hand in there when it's hot.
Sure. And
putting their milk bottle in there or something. Their sippy cups. Anyway, I just swapped out the lock to a regular lock. And I was glad I had that keychain. I put it on that key.
Yeah, that helps.
So I knew which one was Simpsons. Anyway, Measle Mods. If you go to the Measle Mods, they have, you know, 15 games. Most of their keys are in their coin doors, which I used to do before I had kids. But then sometimes the coin doors would pop open if the lock wasn't firm enough.
Yeah, just that sucks.
In the middle of play? Yeah, so then I was like, well, that sucks too. So I ended up taking them all out anyway. So there, it's just you end up, if you need to get into a game, you just try 10 different keys till you get the one that fits. Which sucks. So
before I switch to keyless locks... I had a friend visiting and he brought his kids and they went downstairs with my kids and they took all of the keys from my arcade and pinball machines out and left them in a big giant jumbled pile, and I didn't have any sort of key fobs or anything. of course, they all looked the same. And not only that, they had lost them. So some they had lost. A couple they had jammed into the coin slots. They could never get it back out. Oh, it was a mess. But that's what convinced me to go keyless, is that nightmare. I had to drill a couple even. But I think the key fobs are... I mean, I like the keychains, to be honest.
I think... I'm not sure if Pinball Life carries the keyless locks anymore.
I don't know. I bought a ton of them, so I have a whole bunch.
I bought a ton from madamusements.com because they were pretty cheap. They were like $1.50.
Yeah, they are cheap.
And they're really nice. They have a really nice mechanism. So there's another mod if you want keyless locks. If your kids are old enough to know better, or you don't have any. If you're super blessed and don't have any.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ulick Store. I was bugging them to make them. So, and they said they're thinking about, they're working on it. But what designs would you do and how would you create them without infringing on companies' copyrights? Example, a sword design that someone could use for Swords of Fury, Medieval Madness, Lord of the Rings, etc. A magic hat, playing cards, etc. for Theater of Magic. So whoever comes up with either the most ideas and or the best ideas, and we'll let them judge, we would create the best top 10 fob designs, and whoever came up with them would get theirs for free, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they also gave us a gift card to give away, $10 gift card. So any submission through the Pinball Podcast will be entered to win the gift card. And then the best designs, the ones that actually get made, it sounds like Ulick Store will give them a copy of their design, which is really cool. So email us or Instagram us or Facebook us, Pinball Podcast on all those things, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, to enter to win. We'll draw in 2 weeks. Obviously, if you have ideas past that, I'll still submit them to Ulick because they've been doing so much cool stuff lately. And then Mezel Mods, MezelMods.com. I was talking to Kristen, and they're going to give out two $10 gift cards as well. Let's say one gift card because she had a second idea. So the first gift card will go out. Their number one seller ever are the fangs for Metallica to put on the snake.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, those have been huge sellers. Occasionally they break, but I think you get two when you buy them. I haven't had to buy them in a long time. But either way, it replaces what's not there, which is your turtle. The snake looks like a turtle. So guess how many fangs they sold total to win a gift card. Closest, you can go over. The closest one will win a gift card. And then they also, a big seller lately has been undercab kits.
Yeah.
It's a LED illuminated undercab. It's 2 3-foot LED strips and all the wiring. You just plug it in and I use hot glue to stick it on because I don't trust that adhesive sucks. Basically, they include this really heavy duty Velcro. The adhesive on the Velcro is heavy duty, so they've got their own solution. They started doing that after I already had mine installed. But anyway, guess how many undercabs they sold to win an undercab kit of your choice.
Ooh.
They do a variety of colors and a lot of all different systems. I know they do Data East, Sam, Spike, Williams, Bally Williams. So. Guess how many undercabs to win an undercab kit. Again, closest to the number you can go over will win. So get those in, and we'll get those prizes going. That's a bunch of prizes from a couple great mod companies right there.
Good guys.
Good guys. We saw Ulick Store gave away their flipper toppers to Adam Godfrey, who does the One and Done podcast occasionally. But he put them on in Swords of Fury. Looked really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it, Jeff.
I think it's a show.
We're right at 90 minutes. Perfect. All right. You can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinball Podcast, on all those things. You can email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, Google Plus, of course. Check out our show notes, thepinballpodcast.com. And thanks again to Nifty LED, to Joe Zinkus, to all of you for listening and supporting the show. I don't think we would be doing this if we didn't have any listeners. Not for 4 years. But, you know, we love doing it, and we're glad it brings a little entertainment to some of you out there.
Even if it's schadenfreude that they're listening for.
Yeah. But. Yes, just background noise. That's okay. We appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today. Yeah. And thanks to Ulek Store, ulekstore.com, and Mezelmods, mezelmods.com. All right, so, and send Jeff your job offers.
Yeah. Hold off on the GoFundMe.
Let's get him employed. If you know the guys over at Vonnie D, I know they're hiring.
Awesome.
Get him in touch with Jeff.
Yeah.
I think he's already been talking to J-Pop, so got that bridge covered.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
I love you.
Bye.